Yes, on this day, let us turn to the book of 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. We are continuing with our series, which we began, this is the third time, which is the work of the Holy Spirit at conversion, or the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the third time. Today, we're going to speak about the indwelling spirit. The indwelling spirit today. First time we spoke about convicting work of the Holy Spirit, how he convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And we went through that, and that's the world. And then we came last time, the sealing, how he seals those who believe, those who come to faith, those who put their trust in Christ. He seals them with the guarantee, the Holy Spirit of God. So today we are in the book of 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit doesn't just seal us and leave, or doesn't seal us and does nothing else. The Bible talks that when he seals us, he also dwells permanently in us. Let us read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. He says, "Oh, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We see Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. He's reminding the believers that they can't live in anyhow. He's reminding them that if they are believers, if they are children of God, they are the temple of living God. He's not writing to a group of elite there. He's writing to the church, which means the believers. Because what was happening was that some of the people were involved in sexual immorality. They were committing adultery. They were committing fornication. And he was addressing this, asking them a question, that if they don't know if the Spirit dwells in them, if they don't know that they have the third person of the Trinity in them. And this is not the only reference which the Bible talks out, tells us about the indwelling work. If we can turn to book of Ezekiel, so we're going to read many places, just references. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. It says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them." Ezekiel 37:14 is just close to where we were. Ezekiel 37:14. It says here, "I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Let's start to turn to Galatians 4. Galatians 4, verse 6. Apostle Paul is writing, he says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." We see the same concept here. 2 Timothy You can go there. Just a reference to say that it is not new thing. 2 Timothy 1:14. Apostle Paul again is writing to Timothy, telling him that good things which was committed to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And then we go to John 14. John 14, 16. The word of God says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide in you forever." We see Jesus is telling his disciples what is going to happen. And finally we go to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Verse 13. 1 John 4, verse 13. It says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit." So, going back to our topic of today, to the text of today from 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, we see the thing which happens at conversion when we become children of God. Everyone who is a believer, he has the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have a divine guest in our lives. We have a permanent residency of the Spirit of God, or Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the same thing. Some places in the Bible it talks about Spirit of Christ. Some places it talks about Spirit of God. And if you see, you read them, it is the same thing, because Father and the Son are one. So, every believer, at moment of conversion, we receive the Holy Spirit. And he's not a visitor. He's not just coming and go. He comes and dwells permanent in the body, in the heart of every believer. And then Apostle Paul is telling them that this Spirit, which we got from God, who came, he is the gift. He is the gift. You know, it's not something, the Spirit which we invoked, or which we called, which we pray for, which we asked. We ask for forgiveness. We want God to save us, and he takes care of the rest. He gives us faith, which is a gift from him. We believe. The Spirit reveals that we are sinners. We believe that we are sinners. We turn to God for repentance. We repent, we believe, we become his children. And he seals us with a seal. He seals us with the Holy Spirit, which is mark of ownership. And at the same time, he gives us that gift, the Spirit of God. It's not that somebody else has to come and lay hands on us for us to receive the Holy Spirit. It's not that we have to go to special meetings to pray to get the Holy Spirit. God gives the Spirit at moment of conversion. So anyone, anywhere in the world who has lived, who is living, or who is going to live, anyone who has believed or who believes, who will believe, will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God will put the permanent residency of the Holy Spirit in one's life. And then Apostle Paul is talking again here. You are not your own. He's telling these people of Corinth that they are not their own. As we saw last time, the seal, mark of ownership, that we belong to God. We are not our own. We are belonging to somebody. That is God. mark of ownership, anyone who's saved, anyone who's born again, anyone who's a believer doesn't belong to himself or herself. We belong to our Master, the one who poured the Spirit, the one who has a stamp in our lives, a mark that we are children of God, the one who gave us the Holy Spirit. We belong to him. So if you see a Christian or so-called Christian out there, everything is about themselves. Me, what I can get. Tell them, you are not your own. It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the Spirit which you have in you. As we saw, we see here, people of Corinth, they were selfish. They were thinking about themselves. They were following the lust of the flesh. They were involved into fornication. They were following adulterous behavior, and they were immoral. Apostle Paul is writing to them, telling them that your bodies are not your own. It belongs to the Holy Spirit, which lives in you. You are the temple. You are the shrine. You are the tabernacle. Spirit of God dwells in you, and God is holy, and he lives in you. So, he continues to tell them some other thing. He tells them that you were bought at price. You and I, who are believers, were bought at a price. When we turn to God, when we are redeemed, when we are declared righteous, when we are declared free, when Christ's payment, deposit, the Holy Spirit is put in our lives, we are bought at a price. Christ has bought his people. Christ has paid the price for us. And he uses the past. You were bought at a price. That is the beginning of verse 20. You were bought at a price. It's not that he's taking that, because he's talking to believers. He's telling them about what happened in the past. At the time they converted, at the time they came to faith, they were bought with a price. And we can talk a little bit about that price Apostle Paul is telling them all about. You were bought with a price if you were a believer. I was bought at a price if I'm a believer. And everyone who is a believer out there has been bought at a price. What price was it? Number one, we can think that the currency Christ paid this price with, he paid with currency of pain and agony. Every one of us is familiar with the story or with what the Bible tells us about what Christ went through. He went through pain. He was crucified. He was pierced on the side. He bled blood. Or he sweated blood. And he went through pain. He was mocked. He went through the pain. And that Christ went through for you and I. He was righteous man of God. He didn't commit any sin. He didn't deserve to go through pain he went through, but he went through for you and I. And he's reminding these people of Corinth that you are not your own. You were bought at a price. It's not a cheap price. Christ paid with the pain, by the way of pain, by the way of agony. He paid you. He paid your souls with pain. Imagine what you went through. I know we are familiar with this. Romans and the Jews and people of that time, they mocked him, they manipulated him, They killed him. They tortured him. They did all those things, and he was innocent. What did he deserve to die? That kind of death? Nothing. He didn't deserve to do that because he was righteous, righteous man of God. It was the righteousness of God. But he went through that. He paid for your price and my price through the currency of pain and agony. The second currency, the second thing in a way of currency he paid with was the currency of love. Christ showed the greatest love to his people. While you were rebels, while you were haters of God, you were sinners, you were dead, you were rebellious, you were separated from God, Christ eternity past, he showed his great love for his people. He loved us. He knew the pains, he knew the agony, he knew the trouble, he knew all the pain he was going to go through. But because he loved us, he paid for you and I with that currency of love. He showed love towards us and he died for us. What did we deserve for him to love us as he did? Nothing. Nothing. We were rebellious. We were sinners. We were enemies of God. We were deserving hell. We were deserving the wrath of God. But he drank the cup. He drank the wrath of God until it was accomplished. That is great love. And this should be a reminder for you and I. Every time where you think about what you've gone through, every time you are down, every time situation come in your life, there is no greater love than what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. There's no greater love because we didn't deserve it. He paid with currency of love. He paid with currency of pain and agony. And the third thing, Christ paid with the currency of obedience to the Father. He obeyed the Father. The Father wanted somebody who could die for his people, who could redeem this fallen generation, this fallen race, this rebellious people. And Christ was obedient. That is what takes for you and I to be Christians, to have a relationship with God, to have the peace we have today. It's because of what Christ did. He paid the price. And you are not Christians. You are today. You are not child of God for free. And that means don't take it for granted. That it's something you deserve. It's something of tradition. It's something which, yeah, you find yourself there. In eternity past, Christ saw and you were bought with a price. We are bought at a price. Price of pain. Think through what Christ went through for you and I. And that love he showed, and that obedience. He obeyed the Father to die for this rebel, this person, this woman, or this man who deserved hell, who deserved to go through the pain himself, who deserved to be hated. The person who was disobedient to God, but Christ showed obedience. And why did he do all this? It was to earn eternal salvation for his people. Christ went through the agony, Christ showed love. Christ did all that he did, even to show that obedience to the Father with a price. Price was you and I, because we were precious to him. And apostle is telling these people this truth. If you are believers, you were bought at a price. You are special to God, and you are the result. You are the price, and you are the result of what Christ went through. It's your soul, my soul. It's souls of believers, which is dear to Christ. That's why he gave his own life to die for us. And 3 points of today, as we're going to see, the result, the outcome of all that price which Christ paid for. What is the result of it today in our lives? We see the rebels, we see the children of disobedience, we see these people who deserve hell. That's you and I are being elevated. We are elevated to be children of God, to be sons and daughters of God. We are shown dignity which we didn't deserve. We are elevated to be heirs with Christ, because he died, because he put the Spirit in us, because we are the temple of God, we are elevated to a place where we didn't deserve. Every believer is elevated from being enriched, from being nothing, to heirs with Christ. People out there might see you as you are. They think you are the same with them. They think, yeah, that is Yuha, or that is Pekka, or that is whoever he is, Frederick or Tom or Tim, that is Jenny or whatever. They think you are as they are. You are as bad they are as they are. But the reality is this, that you are not the same as they are. If you are a believer, you are heirs with Christ. You are elevated to sit with God. You're going to spend time with God in glory. You are being elevated. Number two, we have been made a place of union with God. Spirit of God comes and dwells in us. We become the temple. We become the shrine. We become the tabernacle of God. Anyone who is a believer has Spirit of God in them. We have been made holy of holies. Our bodies are temple of God. You remember in Old Testament, the temples had many rooms or many courts. There was the most holy, where the Ark of God was, which no one could enter. Where the Spirit of God was, where no one could enter. And that same place has been made, that in you and I who are believers. And that all this happens at moment of conversion. When we trust in God, when we become Christians, he puts this, the Spirit of God, the third person of Trinity, comes and dwells in us. He dignifies us, he elevates us, and he makes us a place of union with God. We have direct contact with God. we have God living in us, we have become a shrine, a temple of God. Any believer should take that seriously, that we have the third person of the Trinity in us. While we are sleeping, while we are walking, while we are working, while we are talking, while we are standing or doing whatever, as long as we live, the Spirit of God lives in us. We are the temple of living God. We are not alone. We are not on our own. We have Him day and night. This result in three things, which can be many things. We have access to God in prayer. We can pray whenever we want to pray, wherever we want to pray, and God hears our prayers because He lives in us. Any believer's prayers are heard because the Spirit lives in us. We are the temple, we are the shrine, we are the tabernacle, we are the Holy of Holies. Our prayers are heard by God because He lives in us. So if you are a believer thinking that I can't pray, I don't know how to pray, or God doesn't hear my prayers, either you are deceived or you don't know what you're talking about. If you are a believer, whichever prayer you make, short or long, God hears because He dwells in you. You are a temple of God. You are a place where He resides. You are inhabited by the Spirit of God. And all this happens at time of conversion. You've received a gift from God, the Holy Spirit of God. And this brings not only the ability for us to pray, it also gives us assurance and security. Because we know that we are the temple of God, because we know that we are the shrine, because we know that God dwells in us, and we have access to Him, that gives us assurance that He will never leave us. Is always in our lives, is always there. We are secured in our faith. We are secured in this world. We are secured in every situation because the Spirit of God dwells in us. Believers should be the most assured people because we have the Spirit of God in us. And that Spirit, as we said, He is the seal. He is the down payment that we belong to God. He is in us. And that also, thirdly, should bring comfort to us. We can pray. We are assured. And we have comfort. Troubles will come, temptations will come. We are comforted that we have the Spirit of God in us. Unbelievers don't have that. Unbelievers struggle. They go all over the place. When problems happen, when troubles come, they struggle. They try to pray to God who they don't know, God they don't have. But when believers have troubles, we turn, we talk to God who dwells in us. We pray to the Spirit of God who dwells in us. There's no one out there who has bigger portion of the Spirit and other one with a smaller portion of Spirit. Anyone who's a believer has the same amount of Spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us. That should give you comfort. You should be comfortable in your position that you are a child of God. We are elevated to be children of God. We are made the temple of God, the shrine. We are made a place of union. And we are made a place of divine communication or intimation. You know, today when we talk about divine intimation or divine communication, I'm not talking about what is happening out there. We have to make that clear. I'm not talking about people who claim that God is speaking to them. They hear the voices, or they see angels, they see this, and Jesus appears to them and tells them things. People who elevate themselves, that see how good I am, how special I am. The proud one, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people who claim that Jesus told me to divorce my wife, or divorce my husband, or Jesus told me to kick somebody to heal them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about divine communication or divine intimation. When you are in trouble, or when you are in situation, you see out of blue the scriptures pop out your mind. Scriptures come out of your mind. God is revealing scriptures. You are in scriptures. You discover some great in-depth details. God reveals scriptures to you. Or you are in time of, you have to make decisions. And you are there, you are praying, and you have wisdom. You have peace that God is directing you. It's because you have Spirit of God in you. He communicates to you through scriptures. It's not every claims people make out there. What God is telling to them, what Jesus is telling them, which are contradicting the word of God. No. Or how God is telling them how he's going to make them rich. Or how he's going to make them great. Or how they will. No. Every communication God will reveal to us, the Spirit will reveal to us, will be in order or in accordance to the Word of God. It won't contradict the Word of God. So every time, any time when you need wisdom and you find wisdom, you need direction and you find direction, or you read scriptures and you see truths are being revealed to you, know that it's because the Spirit of God dwells in you. People who don't have Spirit of God, they may read this Bible from morning to evening. They won't understand it. And we see it. We see it. Or if they make decisions, you see always that they make decisions for themselves. They don't make decisions which glorify God. So we are special beings. We are elevated. We are the temple of God. We are the shrine. We are the tabernacle. We are holy of holies. And we have divine intimation. God speaks to us through his word because we have the Spirit of God. And the scriptures has to be always the authoritative way God speaks to us. It doesn't speak in hearing voices and stuff. No, it's in order, according to the word of God. And the result of this, because we have Spirit of God, because we have this divine intimations, our conscience is awakened. Believer's conscience will always be awakened. We have a conscience which works all the time. Have you been in a situation where you've made something wrong, you've thought something wrong, you see that your conscience is hunting you down. You can't be in peace. You feel as if you've killed somebody, as you've done something really big, until you repent, until you go and ask for forgiveness, until you make peace. That's a sign that you have Spirit of God in you. Your conscience is at work all the time. A Christian is not somebody who doesn't care, who behaves anyhow. A Christian is somebody who is sensitive. Because the Spirit of God is sensitive. A couple of weeks ago, I messed up with my colleague. There was a misunderstanding between assent. There was about work. There were three people involved. I had sent an order that ordered this. I was sent to my colleague, and then somebody else, my other colleague, has said a totally different thing. And I didn't know that my other colleague has spoken to this guy, said different things. And then I start getting email from the colleague I spoke to that the prices were different and he was telling me different things. I jumped on him and said that you are lying. You are lying. It's not this. And at the end of the day, I noticed that it's my other colleague who had messed up. So I was talking about another product, and my other colleague was talking about another product. And then the colleague I actually spoke to was confused. He didn't know what product. So because I had called him, I had told him that he was lying. I came home. I was not at peace. At 5:30 or so, I picked up my phone. I called him. We don't work at 5. I called him. Sorry, man, I messed up. I called you a liar. I didn't mean to. But it's because there was misunderstanding. Sorry. He said, no, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. I understood that there was a misunderstanding. And after I said sorry to him, it was like the big weight went off my shoulders. The Spirit in me made my conscience to be at work, to be sensitive. There are many cases, many examples we can draw. I used to tell my wife that one of the things of being Christian, to being born again, is that your conscience is working all the time. Your conscience is working all the time. Because the Spirit of God is dealing with you, is in you, is revealing, is telling things, is convicting you, is telling things. Repent. Live as I want to be. I am holy. Live a holy life. Don't engage yourself in things which don't glorify God. And secondly, because we have these divine intimations, we are activated, we are stirred to serve the church and God's people. Suddenly, we were thinking about ourselves. We were all the time before we were saved. When we are saved, we have Spirit of God in us. We are aware of other people. We think of well-being of other believers. We call those we need to call. We exalt those we need to be exalted. We lift people up. We edify others. We offer gifts. We pray for others. It becomes our duty for well-being of other believers. And the time when we are lazy, we don't want to study, that spirit in us tells us a little bit, don't be lazy. Pick up your book or listen to some sermons. The time when you don't want to pray, you've gone some days without praying, you feel like something is not right. The spirit is like, come on, do your duty. We have duty. We become aware of the duties as believers because we have this divine intimations, this divine communication. It talks to us. When you offend somebody, he awakens you. When you say some lies, he awakens you. When you are not in order, he awakens you. The question comes, how do you know, how do I know that I have the Holy Spirit in me? That's $1 million question, isn't it? How do I know that I have the Spirit of God in me? I could answer that because I know that my conscience, because the voice of conscience is within me. My conscience is not dead. I'm not mean. I don't care for myself. I'm not a selfish being. I care about what's happening. My conscience is at work all the time. That's one of the signs that we have the Spirit of God in us. And then the Apostle Paul continues. He tells these people of Corinth, verse 20, we can read, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body." Because you are bought at a price, because you are not your own, glorify God with your bodies. Because we have Spirit of God in us, because we are owned by somebody else, we have to care of our bodies. We have to glorify God with our bodies. That means we have to take care of it. We don't have to be involved into things which are not glorifying God, like fornications, like pornographic things, like adulterous things, or anything which doesn't glorify God. Believers shouldn't be addicted to drugs. That damages our bodies. We know time after time we are told that cigarettes are bad for our bodies, isn't it? Cigarettes are bad for our bodies. Lungs and things, many diseases. Because we know that we shouldn't even take smoke. Believers shouldn't be getting drunk. Can it hurt themselves? There are many examples by which we can glorify God with our bodies. Because it is a temple. Because your body is a shrine, is a tabernacle. Treat it with dignity. Treat it with good manners. Treat it in a way which glorifies God. You are not your own. Don't do only what you want. Don't not only do what pleases you. That body is a temple of God. Spirit of God dwells in you. And use it for good way. And he continues. He says, and in your spirit. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. This is the purity of mind. He tells us to keep our minds pure. We know there are many people because of what they watch, what they read. Their minds are movie-making machines. Their minds are filthy. Their minds are corrupted. Their minds are really bad because of what they do. Our minds should be pure. We should dedicate our time to pray. We have to, if you are the one who loves reading, read godly things. Read your Bible. Read things of dignity. Pure stuff. If you the one who want to listen, listen to things which glorify God. Some good sermons, some good Christian songs. Or listen to your mom and dad. Don't only go to friends who gossip and talk about others. You fill your mind with filth. Glorify God with your body and in spirit. Keep your minds pure. Don't imagine things too much. Don't go overboard. We know children, if they've been watching horror movie, like our children, when they've been watching Moron, they at the night, we know that we have problem. Lynette wakes up and cries, Moron is coming. Hey, it's coming. So her life is occupied by Moron. So let us not be like children because of what we watch, because of what we do. Our minds are full of that. Let us control what we watch. Why? Because we are the temple of the living God. We are the shrine. We are the tabernacle. We are holy of holies. Spirit of Christ dwells in us. In conclusion or application, let us turn to book of Romans 8. Romans 8, 9. Romans 8, 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not of his. Apostle Paul makes it clear. Believers are not in the flesh, we are in spirit. If we are believers, we are in spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us. It's on the other hand, there is those who are not in spirit, who are in the flesh, those who are not belonging to Christ. Where do you find yourself? In which group do you find yourself? Those who are in spirit or those who are not having spirit of Christ, who are not in Christ. Unbelievers are not in Christ, no matter whatever they can do. They are not belonging to Christ, as he says here. If anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. There is nothing you can do to get the Spirit of Christ. You can't manufacture it. You can't buy it. You can't fake it. It's either you have it or you don't have it. And if you have it, you are in spirit. You are a child of God. You are bought for eternal price. And if you are not, you are not his. You may be religious. You may be a moral person. But it comes to this you have the Spirit of God, you are God's child. You don't have Spirit of God, you are not God's child. This brings us to examining ourselves. Apostle Paul is writing that we should examine ourselves. Do you have the Spirit of Christ in you? Are you a temple of God? Have you repented of your sins? Have you trusted? Are you a sinner? Or do you count on your own righteousness? You count on your family tree. My grandmom was a Christian. My grandma was a Christian. My great-grandparents were Christian. So my dad is a Christian. I'm a Christian. Or do you count that, this great country of Finland, we were Christian. We are a Christian family. Because I live in Finland, I am a Christian. Or some will count what they've done, or the stories the mama have told them, or the priest have told them that, I remember when I baptized you as a baby. I saw how you were so happy, you became a Christian. Is it that? It is a gift of God. The Spirit of God is a gift given to those who believe at conversion. Don't fool yourself. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. This is the mark. The day of redemption. The day of judgment. Those who have the Spirit of God as a guarantee will be declared free. And those who don't have, they might have all the workloads. They might have all the goodness with them. But it won't qualify them to spend time with God in glory. They will go to other side. They will spend time in other place. A place of torment. Place of fire, which is hell. Ephesians 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans. Did I say Ephesians? No, I said it is Romans, sorry. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for sinners. As I said earlier, the time when we were rebels, the time where we were disobedient, the time where we were separated with God, the time where we were deserving hell, the time where we were deserving wrath of God, Christ died for his people. He knew the pain, but because of his great love, he died for us as sinners. As sinners. Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It makes it so narrow. It makes it so clear. Salvation is in Christ. salvation is in Christ. And believers have the Spirit of Christ. Non-believers or unbelievers have no Spirit of Christ. The Bible doesn't say that we have Spirit of the church or we have Spirit of our goodness. We have our goodness with us or we have our efforts with us. We have Spirit of God. We are elevated from being rebels to being children of God, to being heirs with Christ. There is inheritance, heritage for believers, and there is punishment for unbelievers. Christ is the way to God. He died for you and I. He died on the cross, the death he didn't deserve, but because of his great love. Don't take that love for granted. Don't think that you have much time, because you don't know what will happen tomorrow. Turn to God and examine yourself, as I said. Ask yourself, do I have the Spirit of God? Am I a temple of living God? If you are, do good. Glorify God with your body. Read your scriptures. Talk to God. Live in a way which glorifies Him. Love other believers. Save other believers. Take care of them. Don't be selfish. And in spirit, purify your mind. Keep your minds clear. Don't torture yourself. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Think of Romans 8, 9. And think of Romans 5, 8. He died while we were sinners. We were still sinners. He died for us. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Father, for this elevation. We thank you for this divine intimation we have with you, Father, that you speak to us. You have made us precious. Father, you have bought us with a price. And you died for us while we're still sinners. We didn't deserve to be heirs, Father, because you love us. Lord, the word makes it clear that those who are believers have your Spirit. And those who are not don't have your Spirit. This brings us to examine ourselves if we have the Spirit of God or if we don't have. Spirit of God, make it clear in those hearts of those who have you. Father, speak to them. Father, reveal yourself more and more. Equip your people to know that they have your Spirit in them. Father, those who don't have Spirit and think that they have, convict them of their sins. Father, show them the righteousness of Christ and show them that the devil has been condemned. Lord, teach them to put their trust in you for your own glory. Lord, we pray as we continue to do this series, you equip us. You speak to us and you show us what you are all about, your Spirit of God. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.